I really don't even know why Rome Frerix is here. I've been mean to him for at least the last half hour. Pull your microphone down so you can get right on that microphone. There you go. You can stare at me, honey. There you go. That's the best part of your day. I've been so mean to Rome Frerix for the last like 10 minutes completely that it's amazing he's still in the studio. But he's got a great story to tell, so he doesn't need to even like me to tell the great story of the Quincy Park District. But I think you secretly do kind of like me, don't you?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I knew you did. I knew you did. Rome, there's no way to be impartial about this. I cover a lot of governments, and the Park Board really does a great job, transparency-wise, explaining things. I mean, last night, I didn't go into hydraulic versus mechanical dredging. You know, I didn't think the average person at WTAD listening audience needed to know that. But it just goes to show you've got a lot of moving parts. You have to know about playgrounds, golf courses, hydraulic dredging, or the lack of it. You've got to know about a lot of things to run a park system. Your staff, very specialized in their own way, but in a sense, everybody has to kind of know what everybody else is doing, because people come up and see a park district employee, and they'll ask him about hydraulic dredging. And even if the guy's planting a tree, he better kind of have some answer about what's going on in the parks, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I really applaud you for that. Something happened last night that is rare. Very few people just show up, not really unannounced, but pretty much on the spur of the moment, to offer $45,000 to the Quincy Park District as a thank you for 95 years living in Quincy and still loving to live in Quincy and wanting to thank the Park District for all those years of great parks. Tell us a little bit about Paul and Joanne Mast and what they want to do for the Quincy Park District.
Yeah, they approached staff last year for a 35-foot flag pole and flag to be located in Sunset Park, right at the kind of the turnaround there. So, you know, staff met with his nephew and took it to the board, and the board approved of that. So staff installed that with the donation from the Mast family, and he's a Korean War veteran, so he really was really appreciative of the work that we did and how easy we were to work with him. So he approached staff again probably about 2 months ago for a up to $50,000 donation for flags to be located at the Villa Catherine.
Now, these will not impede the view of the river. These flags will just be in a beautiful space where from the Villa Catherine, as you're looking out across the river and as you're enjoying those beautiful grounds, you'll be able to have this kind of patriotic display of this dozen flagpoles.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's set in stone yet. So,
right,
you know, I sent another email early this morning to the board with a PowerPoint presentation that I shared with the Friends of the Castle and C. Quincy. So there's still some more discussions to do, but, you know, we just need to talk about it and get back with the Mast family.
Let's talk about this a little bit from a public point of view. You know, I used to joke when I worked for the Girl Scouts, I used to tell my former boss, Judy, that her worst nightmare would be me donating $1 million to the Girl Scout Council, but demanding that my face be painted on the bottom of the pool they would install at the camp. Now, that just goes to show how long ago it was. $1 million wouldn't even begin to install a pool now. And Judy always used to say, you know, we can refuse any gift if we don't like the circumstances. It is nice when people give money. You always want to welcome that. But if somebody would like to make a gift to the Park District, what are some of the things they should consider? You can't just do anything you want. I mean, just because somebody gives you the money for something doesn't necessarily, I'm not talking about this case, these flagpoles are great, but I'm talking about just in general. You know, somebody can't just give you money and demand that you do something on park property just because they want to pay for it.
No, I mean, you know, we have the Quincy Park Foundation that, you know, works with the Friends of the Trail, and we have some endowments in there as well. But, you know, we have the Heritage Tree brochure to where you can plant trees in the parks. We have the Memorial Bench Program.
The Park Bench Program,
you know,
which we run at PSA that, in honor of Jeff Steinkamp, our late great Park Board Commissioner.
You know, and we've done probably 15 to 20 benches along the Bill Klinger Trail. You know, we're averaging 145 to 150,000 people a year that utilize the trail. So it just showcases what your donation to the Quincy Park District is.
Well, if I may correct you, according to Rome Frerix, Almost 200,000 people use the Bill Clinger Trail. So your facts are not quite up to date there. See, I ask you a question, you don't have it in front of you.
Yep.
I can always correct you, though, right, Rome?
Absolutely.
It's better to go up than down, right?
Absolutely.
So we had the story this morning about all the great things that are happening in the park. You have great financial stability. You have great transparency. Anyone who wants to know anything can go to your website. They can always call a commissioner. They can always ask anybody who works for the park district. And if they don't know the answer, they'll get the answer to them. What are some of the maybe three big things that you really want to talk about maybe that are happening this year that are really going to have a big impact on folks, not only who live in Quincy, but, gee, a lot of people use our parks?
Three of the biggest things, I would say first and foremost, would be the second all-inclusive playground. That was a $600,000 OSLAD grant that the Park District received after a lot of time working on that grant. That will be located in the Wavering Park, just east of the Avenue of Lights Field, right off of 36th Street. So that's a $1.4 million project. It's very similar to Lincoln Park, but just a little bit bigger, with restroom, shelter, and a really nice all-inclusive playground for all mobility devices.
That's that special surface. Yes. After 10 years at Lincoln Park, that surface has to be replaced, because when you go to a lot of parks like South Park or whatever, there's nice wood chips.
That's the
down.
Engineered five bar,
you know,
yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, the average person, that's fine. But this has to be a very special surface so that wheelchairs can roll over it. People that use walkers can walk on it more easily, because it's not just for, it's for handicapped all ages. But a lot of people who have handicapped children love it. But a lot of parents who are handicapped or grandparents love to go there because they can be with their kids.
Absolutely.
They're not sitting there going, I can't get my walker across these wood chips. And I'm so amazed. I didn't realize that there's not another park like this in 100 miles.
Absolutely.
Why is Quincy so cutting edge? I mean, 10 years ago, this is unheard of.
Well, 10 years ago, you know, we worked with all three Kiwanis groups.
Yeah.
That was their 100-year anniversary project. So, you know, that's one of their main goals is for kids. So it was a win-win for everybody, and it was a slam dunk to take that to the board to accept their donation, and they raised half of the money for that project.
Okay. So the all-inclusive park is definitely one of the big things that's happening this year. What else?
That $3.5 million small boat harbor grant that we received, we were notified from the federal government. This is separate than the $42 million Cubera grant that will be breaking ground in 2026. So this is from basically the double ramps in Kessler Park all the way down to the tip of the island, and the Corps is responsible for this project, and they're removing up to 35,000 cubic yards of sediment in the lower bay.
Which will make boaters very happy.
Absolutely.
Make everybody very happy, really, because, I mean, you don't notice it if you're just standing on the back bank watching the pelicans, but it does make a difference what the depth is there. So,
And that's going to start the week of the May 1st.
Now, you say that, but the government has promised the money, but could that magically disappear? Is Elon Musk on your radar?
Not on this project.
Is doing something scurrilous
there? The group's coming down Monday to do another boots on the ground and look at the spoil site that we created for it to make sure once the dredge comes up to Quincy, everything's ready to go.
Okay, we're hoping for it. Rome, thank you for your time this morning. And again, on behalf of all the citizens of Quincy, but most importantly, all my friends who don't live in town, and I'm so sick of paying property taxes so they can enjoy our parks. But they sure do love it, and I tell you what, it's probably the best thing about Quincy. And you know what the really bad thing is? If you don't live anywhere else or ever go anywhere else, you don't know we have a Cadillac here. You think everybody's got a park system like this. Oh, no.
1,025 acres.
It is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary.
And we'll see you again in the future on the Mary Griffith Show. So
absolutely.
This wasn't so bad.
No.
Okay, now we're going to get to another newsmaker, John French, right after this. Stay tuned. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I'm so thankful that John French, the superintendent of the Lewis County C1 School District, is here. And I'm also a little bit embarrassed that we haven't had him on sooner than this. Thank you and welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've got a huge project that you're kind of kicking off. You're looking toward the future in the Lewis County C1 School District. For those listening, it's not officially the Highland School District, but that's what most people think of it as.
They think of us as the Highland Cougars.
Mendon Unity. We're Unit 4. I said, honey, everybody doesn't call Unit 4. They call you Mendon Unity.
We're Highland.
So you're Highland. So now we know what we're talking about. John French, outline briefly, and then we'll go into some more broader detail. But give us the bullet points. What's happening? Something you're seeking public input.
Yeah. So, part of the premise is we believe it takes a community to raise a child, and we want our community to be a part of designing how we shape our programs and our system at school. But this started a few years ago. We did a continuous school improvement plan and included a lot of community in that. Now we have worked on that for a few years. We've made a lot of progress. And so this is kind of following up on that work and getting community feedback, but looking at it through a slightly different lens of trying to say, okay, what does our community expect for our students who graduate from Highland? What is our portrait of a graduate, and looking at the future and what those skills need to be, what knowledge, skills, and dispositions do we want our students to graduate so that they're ready for career and life.
This is not much different from what every school superintendent could sit right there and say. Quincy talks about, we're a small town. How do we keep our graduates here? Lewis County's a really small community. Is that one of the concerns? You've got to make sure that you're training a workforce for Lewis County and the area, but you're also giving them wings to fly, hoping they'll come back home after they fly off to college or wherever. I mean, looking at what a portrait of a graduate, a portrait of what the future looks like, jobs have to be driving a lot of that, right?
Sure, but I think also the way that education is run in today's world, it's not the same as when we were in school, right? The kids that are coming in to kindergarten, and even way older students at this point, the job market that they're going to have when they graduate is going to be mostly jobs that don't even exist yet. So how do we prepare them for this ever-changing, very fast-changing world? And so part of it is thinking future-wise and making sure that our students are going to be able to be competitive not only locally but also on a global scale. I mean, it's starting to become, with all the advancement in technology and AI and stuff, that really if we aren't doing that, our students are going to be at a disadvantage from schools who have that broader capability. You mentioned us being a small school district. Being in Quincy, they're thinking they're small. That's nothing in comparison to us, right? So they have lots of industry and businesses around that they can partner with. That's not so prevalent in our area. But there are still businesses and family-owned businesses, companies that we can partner with and try to get our students more opportunities at internships, youth apprenticeships, just the ability to go in and experience those pathways. And sometimes it's our students learning that there are these existing work opportunities in our local area because they don't realize that. Typically, a student knows what their parents do, and that's really all they know about in our area, other than cornfields, right? But there are businesses and entities that we can work with, and so we want to make sure that we're trying to prepare our kids for the real world, give them some real-world learning opportunities, have some client-connected projects. You know, we're really trying to look at that. How do we expose our kids to the different possibilities so that they're prepared?
Well, you have the same problems everybody has.
Sure.
You drive by Knapheide Manufacturing there at 48th and Cook's Lane, and it's a beautiful building. And if they didn't have their product sitting out, you wouldn't have any idea what went on in there. Not a clue.
Exactly.
You go down by ADM, you see those silos, you think something probably with agriculture, but you have no idea that margarine and stuff. You drive by Titan Wheel. Besides the fact that they have the world's largest wheel with a big grizzly bear coming out of it, you wouldn't know what they made.
Right.
Because
right.
They just call themselves Titan now.
Right.
Because they do other products as well. Well, obviously everybody knows what a farm is, but there's so many other things that happen in your community. And now that Zoom and all these things that weren't around
exactly.
when I was a kid, you can live in LaBelle and work in St. Louis or Chicago.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, again, that's when I say preparing them for a global market. That's really what we have to be doing because that's where things are going. And so, you know, a similar situation, think of a hospital. Most people think, okay, doctors and nurses. There are a ton of different pathways. There's accounting, there's billing, there's sales, there's marketing, all of those things.
If you don't like people and you don't want to be around people, you could be a radiologist and just sit in a dark room all day and look at x-rays or mammograms.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be somewhat facetious, but you're right. People don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
And this is the other problem you have because you have a wide group of people that are all your property taxpayers in Lewis County that are supporting your school. You have to educate them because you take a woman my age, and I don't have any children. I have been involved in schools a lot
sure.
as a volunteer. But let's say I hadn't stepped foot in a school since I went to school.
Right.
I wouldn't have a clue that there's no blackboard anymore or you're not running off mimeograph copies. And so when you're trying to get people that are providing your property tax base to go into the future, you kind of have to drag them in there with you, don't you?
Yeah. Again, it goes back to what I said earlier. People know what they know, and they don't. You know, so if you haven't been in a school setting and been involved in that since the time you were in high school, then you're remembering it the way it was when you were there. For many people, they didn't have computers at that time. Email didn't exist. The idea of having phones, that's a big topic across the nation about whether the phones should be banned in schools or should you be using that technology because it's actually quite a big tool that the kids can use
sure.
and teachers can use as well. So the point is there are rapidly advancing changes and our kids need to be prepared for that. Our community needs to understand that and also play a part in what are our expectations for our students and to then trying to build that ecosystem so that every one of our students has the same opportunities to excel and be prepared for the real world.
And that's where the 86-year-old and the 76-year-old and the 66-year-old have to be vitally interested in the 16-year-old because guess what? They're going to be the future tax base. They're going to be the future workforce. They're going to be the ones that care about
Absolutely.
Your community.
Yeah.
If they all leave after Highland Cougar is the last time they see Lewis County and they're all somewhere else,
right.
you're losing all the people who have natural caring for your community. This community meeting is March 19th. That's a Wednesday night.
Next Wednesday.
At 6 p.m. Tell us a little bit about it in brief. Then we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more because folks need to get to this meeting or get their thoughts to this meeting
yes,
so
absolutely.
That you can do it. So it's Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Where is it going to be at?
At the High School Commons, Highland High School Commons. We will start serving a free spaghetti supper that our board members are donating and preparing at 6 o'clock. We have a special presentation by our cast of the musical coming up, Shrek. They're going to do a quick performance of a song, and then we also have our jazz band's going to perform a song while we're having the spaghetti supper. At 6:30, we will have the nationally known company Battelle for Kids there to run the meeting and talk about formulating our portrait of a graduate for Highland.
And so this is going to be great. You had me at Shrek. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. This is next Wednesday night at the Highland High School cafeteria at the Commons. It starts at 6 o'clock. And if you care about the future of your community, you have to care about the future of your school. They are one and the same. And we have seen too many small communities in Northeast Missouri and West
Yep.
Central Illinois lose their school. When you lose your school, you lose your town.
Community goes.
When you lose your town, there's no reason for anybody to come back.
Right.
So it's very critical that everybody be involved. We're going to head up to the URSA Farmers Cooperative, find out what's happening on the farm markets. Then my conversation with John French continues right after this. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My first encounter. I've had a lot of email encounters with him. I get his press releases all the time. But my first encounter with John French when he wasn't – saying school's closed today. So it's so nice to have him here as the superintendent of Lewis County C1. Next Wednesday is a huge day for them. They're going to have everybody in the community is welcome to come to their spaghetti supper Wednesday night, no charge, 6 o'clock. They want to pick your brain and find out what you want a graduate from Lewis County Highland High School to look like. And that means they have to start training them in pre-K, kindergarten, first grade. What do you want it to look like when they get out of our system? And so this is a 20-year, 40-year, 50-year plan down the road to the portrait of a Highland High School graduate. And it is critical for the community. I did not know. Can you believe Mary Griffiths didn't know something? I mean, it's amazing. Your district has 5 counties? In your jurisdiction, I thought you were just Lewis County.
No, we cover the majority of Lewis County, but we also cover parts of Knox, Clark, Shelby, and Marion.
Marion. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's
okay.
The only school district in the state that has 5.
And 410 square miles, one of the largest geographic districts.
Yes. Yep.
So when they say rural, interspersed, a lot of infrastructure, needs to be built for a very few people. You are the epitome of that.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of cornfields, literally, and so our physical address is a Lewistown address, but our P.O. box is in Ewing because we're closer to it. That gives you a little bit of idea.
Yeah. Where are they? Well, if you want to send them a letter, they're in Ewing. If you want to go out there, they're in Lewistown.
Right.
But the bottom line is you have, and by the way, you do have some beautiful facilities, and I know you've put a lot of money and effort in the last decades to upgrade those facilities, because students that, you know, have a graduating class of what? What's your average graduating class?
About 65.
65 deserve as much as a graduating class of 800, and you need to teach them the same things, which is challenging as well.
Yeah.
This thing that's going to happen Wednesday night, you're going to get a lot of input. You're going to talk a lot about what needs to happen in the future. John French, what do you think? I know you don't want to drive the discussion. You want to be part of the discussion, let other people listen. But what are some of the frameworks that you're looking forward to? What should people come to thinking Wednesday night? I want to think about workforce. I want to think about academic excellence. I want to think about social emotional components. I want to do all this. I want to make sure we have an athletic program. I want to make sure we have all this. I want to make sure everybody's treated fairly. What kind of questions and comments and things should people come with prepared to talk about? These are my concerns.
Yeah, so again, we have Battelle for Kids, which is a nationally known company who is kind of the experts in this field of creating portraits of a graduate, and they'll do some things, activities to lead people through the conversations. But again, it is thinking about how the world has changed and what the job market looks like, the fact that some jobs are not even in, don't exist yet, and our kids are going to have to be prepared for that by the time they graduate, and what are we doing to make sure that they're going to be successful, thinking about what durable skills we believe are priorities for our kids. They used to be called soft skills. I prefer to say durable, because that means being on time, being able to work with the co-worker or collaborate with each other, good communication, those types of things. I don't know that soft gives a good justice to what's really needed, but durable skills, that's what's going to allow them to be successful in any position. So I think we need to be thinking about those things, and then also taking into account the landscape of what education looks like. You know, every kid loves to go to kindergarten, but as we get further along, it kind of seems like that love of learning and being immersed in the learning, it goes away from that, and it's more we're talking to the students instead of having the students be involved in the learning. We've got to get to the point where our high schools are doing that. Our district has been involved in the nationally recognized AASA's cohort, Redefining Ready and Learning 2025. We're also a part of the Success Ready Student Network in Missouri, we're one of 20 districts working with the state to form a new assessment and accreditation system. So we've really been pretty forward-thinking in trying to get to that, creating more opportunities and pathways for our children, giving opportunities for them to earn credentials that are readily applicable to jobs. We just had a junior who got her CNA certification and got pinned for that at John Wood Community College. She's already employable. That's what we want to see as a goal for all of our children. And you know, sometimes in high school, it's if we can provide those opportunities, maybe it's them learning, well, I thought I wanted to do that, but I don't. And so now they don't waste college money and years of trying to go into something that they're not going to like. So there's value in that, even if it ends up not being what they choose to do. So trying to work with our community business partners, form relationships with community business partners. We've been very strategic in trying to make sure we sent personal invites to all the different groups within our community, healthcare professionals, parents, teachers, students, clergy. You know, we've sent out invitations because we want to make sure it's representative of our entire community and that everybody has a voice in what we believe Highland Student needs to represent.
Well, we were talking off air, and I've had so many people on that are teachers themselves and administrators. And when you become a teacher, I think most people become a teacher because they loved a teacher. And they love being a student.
Right.
Now, that's a whole different thing. They loved a teacher. They love being a student. Then they get to become a teacher, and they find out, I don't love being a teacher. I liked being a student, and I loved my teacher, but I don't like being a teacher. And part of that may be because we're making teachers do things that nobody loves to do instead of just interacting and the spark that comes when they get it.
Right.
And we're doing something wrong. Obviously, we are doing something wrong. We are spending more money than ever before, and we're getting fewer results than ever before. And so I've got an expert sitting right across from me. What the heck is broken, and how are we going to fix it?
Well, you and I have discussed this a little bit. I think, you know, part of it is the concept of testing. And there's a lot of money that's spent in education just on assessments and testing and time taken away from the learning opportunities. When No Child Left Behind came along, and again, it was to try to make sure schools were competing with our national or international counterparts and other countries. However, what it's really kind of done is sucked some of the love of learning out of things. And so I think we need to get back to that idea of when kids go to kindergarten, they're having fun, they're enjoying it, they're learning and they're immersed in it. And if we can provide those same opportunities on a personalized level to meet kids where they're at, not just teaching to the middle and throwing information out there and expecting people to remember it, and it's all about can you regurgitate this information for a test, instead actually learning what they're interested in to cover the same concepts and get a deeper learning, it's going to be so much more fun for the student and more meaningful, and it's going to allow them to go deeper and be able to take those skills, knowledge, and dispositions and apply them to other situations. So,
you know, I think it's so funny because I've been a volunteer in classrooms now for 30 years. And sometimes I think I missed my calling to be a teacher. But the thing they all hate is the testing. And it's funny because I have no degree, I have no expertise, but I've got some common sense and I've been around kids a lot.
Sure.
I don't have to have gone to college and have a book in front of me with all these assessment skills. I can tell you who can read and who can't in the second grade in my school where I volunteer.
Right.
Now, what I'm going to do about that, that may take a little bit more than I've got. But sure. I do know one thing. They're only going to learn to read if we keep letting them read.
If we let them read.
And if they've got some problem, like they're dyslexic, we need to identify that.
Right.
Same thing with math. I can tell you right now who's good at math and who's not good at math in that classroom. Now, how I'm going to get the ones that are bad at math up to that level? No, I don't have that. But I do know one thing. Give them a math test every day isn't going to make them get any better at math.
Yeah.
And so this is, like you said, the problem. No Child Left Behind. I love they always make it, you know, like, we're going to save the world. No Child Left Behind. But really, then it became No Child Left Untested. And now it's teachers are afraid that if I've got an adult in my class, I'm not going to get a raise next year because I couldn't bring that kid with a low IQ up to normal standards. The teaching profession needs to get back to I love this interaction, not I can't wait to give them this test today. And
right.
The kids, yes, kids need to be tested. We all need to be tested. We're tested every day in our jobs. Sure. I get a test every day here. My boss doesn't go, Mary, you're taking a test today. Trust me, Mary's taking a test today. So is John French. He's
right.
Taking a test every day. Yeah. But yet, if we were told we were taking a test every day, it'd be just like their reaction. Ugh, yuck, I don't want to be here. My tummy hurts. I don't want to go to school today. We're doing it wrong.
Yeah, the key is there's many ways to assess. And you know, the common word is test. But you can assess a student's learning and progress in many ways. Like you said, they're not telling you you're being tested. But they're, you know, they're watching and they're performance things you're doing that are essentially testing that you're doing what you need to be doing in whatever job you're in. And so, again, that's where we need to get to part of that concept of us with the Success Ready Student Network in Missouri is we are trying to use progress monitoring assessments that we have our teachers give on a monthly basis, which kind of is a quick assessment of where they're at so that the teachers can then see, okay, they're struggling in this area. How do I address that and get them back up to speed? And these kids maybe already have this. So what can I give them to let them move forward? So again, trying to personalize that learning to meet the student where they're at. You talked about reading. If you have a student who's having trouble reading, they're not going to become a better reading. If you're giving them college level textbooks, they're not going to be able to read that. You've got to meet the student at their level and in their interest so that it is still sparking that joy of learning. And so,
yeah. If you say to them, every second grader should know these words and they don't know them, you've just set them up to fail and hate it. Yeah, but if you say, don't compare them to other kids, say, can you learn these five words today? Can you learn these five words? Maybe they were words they should have known in first grade. Who cares?
Right.
They don't know them, so just get on the stick.
Yeah.
You know, don't make them feel bad. Listen, we all know. I mean, in school we had the Bluebirds and the Cardinals and the Orioles. I mean, if you don't think we all knew the Bluebirds were the stupid kids, you know, you're wrong. And we've gotten away from a lot of that, and that's good. We're trying to be more inclusive and everything.
Sure.
Boy, we don't have a whole lot of time left. We do want to tell people that nothing gets more important in your community than your school.
Great.
I mean, every single aspect of what happens in Lewis, Clark, Knox, Shelby, Marion, all of those counties have a touch to the Lewis County C1 School District, Highland, and you better care because the product that's coming out of there is going to sustain us in the future. So next Wednesday night, your spaghetti supper, people are going to come, they're going to spark a conversation, they're going to think about things they haven't thought about, don't come with any preconceived notions, and we'll just leave it at that. I want to ask you one question. How long have you been at Highland, and how the heck did you get there? Are you locally grown?
Actually, I grew up a little south of St. Louis. I went to college at Truman State University, got married right out of college, and lived in Cahokia for about a year and a half, and then at that time decided to go back and become a teacher. That actually wasn't what I got my degree in.
Okay.
Eventually, my two boys, my oldest son was going off to college, thought he was going to play soccer at Truman, and kind of a funny story how I ended up there. Too long to take, but to explain. But we ended up moving in this direction, and I got the position at Lewis County C1. I believe this is my 12th year, 11th or 12th year in that district, and it's been great the whole time. I think we have a lot of positive things going on. We have some outstanding teachers, some phenomenal students, incredible board. I'm just blessed to work where I do. One reminder, on the spaghetti supper for next week, if you'll go to lewis.k12.mo.us and scroll down to the news section, you'll see the invitation, and there's a QR code or a link that you can click on to RSVP for your attendance, because we do need to try to get everybody signed up so we know how much to have for meals and to have materials ready. So please go in and RSVP if you have not. We also have our Future Teachers of America students who will be providing childcare during the meeting if you want to stay for that. And then during dinner, our foods class is preparing the desserts. So again, we invite you to come and learn a little bit about what's going on, see some of the highlights, but then also provide input to help design our portrait of a graduate.
Portrait of a Graduate, a key focus in the Lewis County C1 School District. It's absolutely free to come to the spaghetti dinner, but if you want an extra meatball, you better RSVP, because you don't have to cut those meatballs in half now, because half the people didn't say they didn't showed up and said they'd. But come anyway. Come however
come,
you can.
Please come.
See what the students are doing. If you haven't been inside the building, shame on you, because your tax dollars are paying for it. You ought to take a look at it. And start to think about how the uniqueness of the one of the largest geographic units in the state of Missouri, covering five portions of five counties, operates and runs, and how critical it is for the public to support that. And I really, really thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Nice to put a face with a name.
With a name, yeah.
I've been
thank
talking
you.
To him for 12 years on emails. Nice to finally meet him. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary.